around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. As always, we'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. It's our joy to be with you today. We've been addressing the subject of fasting. Today is January the 16th, and this is the week of the inauguration of the president-elect Donald Trump. I am anticipating God moving. However, that does not negate the work of the spirit of the Antichrist, of the leaven that seeks to corrupt the whole body. We're witnessing God, I believe, giving us a reprieve, a momentary pause, but that does not stop the evil. That only gives the redeemed an opportunity to redeem the times. Ephesians 5 and 16, Paul said, redeeming the times, because the days are evil, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine where is in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. And there are a lot of people out there who claim to be Christians that you're going to witness as they continue to deviate and depart from the faith of God. There are those out there who are purported Christians who are attacking other Christians relentlessly. These people do not edify the body. They do not strengthen the body, but they are an aberration of Satan. You must remember, Satan has his emissaries. 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, their works are evil. They're always on the attack. They make themselves a ruler, a measuring instrument to measure other ministries. But, of course, Paul the Apostle knew that was erroneous, and he knew without a doubt it was evil to the uttermost. 2 Corinthians 10 and 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. What that simply means, they don't understand what's going on. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 13, but we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when our faith is increased, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. So they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise and very, very misled by demon spirits. This will continue to proliferate even until the coming of Christ. Remember, it was Jesus who declared in Matthew 24:5, and many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. These people are duplicitous. They are deceptive. They seek to attack. You know, the disciples at one point wanted to call fire down out of heaven and destroy some disciples. Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you are of. You don't understand the spirit that you're operating under. He said, if they're not against us, then they are for us. All you have to do is ask the simple question, who are these people against? I've never seen such a time when there are those who are not called of God, but they feel it's their duty, their obligation to attack others. We're witnessing that on a measure as never before. But I'm here today to encourage you. I'm here today to pick up about fasting. It's obvious these men are not fasting and praying and seeking God. There are more important things to do in the kingdom of God than running around attacking every ministry. And those who are attacking ministry are not doing the work of God. They're doing the work of the devil because they are of their father, the devil. That's why they do that. That's why they operate like that. Their heart is not in ministry. Ministry is sacrifice. Ministry is serving. Ministry is giving. Ministry is reaching out to the lost. We get testimonies every week of people being touched by the gospel of God. I've gotten more response in the last few weeks on the series we did in Genesis 49, verses 8 through 11, on the coming Messiah, the tribe of Judah. That's probably been the greatest response we've had in years on a teaching about the coming Messiah. And some people have said, we've listened to it two and three times. There's so much in it, we've had to go back and re-listen. This is what ministry is about, edifying the body of Christ. Before I get back into the Word of God today in ministry, in Isaiah 15, I want to play a beautiful song. I bowed on my knees and I cried holy. This is what we need to be doing. I want to encourage you to fast and pray with me this month, that this will be a year of peace and joy and comfort in the Holy Ghost. Yes, the evil is going to work. The evil is going to continue to rise. You can continue to seek the face and the presence of God Almighty.
I dream of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered, I cried holy. The angels all met me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion. All the sights I saw. I talk with Mark. There's Timothy. Oh, but I said Timothy.
To give glory to the Son of God for his goodness and mercy and grace, which he has bestowed so greatly upon each and every one of us. We are a blessed people, needless to say. And I pray that 2017 will be a year of peace and joy and comfort for you in the Holy Ghost. We've all suffered harm, injury, all types of abuse, but that's part of bearing the cross of Calvary. That's a part of enduring unto the end. But God has promised to never leave us, nor to forsake us, but to be with us always, even unto the end of the world. And I believe that with all of my heart. I love what Paul said in Romans 14. Verse 7, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I pray that 2017 will be a year of righteousness, peace, and joy and comfort in the Holy Ghost for you. I want to pick back up Isaiah 58, verse 7. Excuse me, Isaiah 58, verse 6. Isaiah 58, verse 6, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. We spoke last week about affliction. Fasting is a means, a mode, and a method of self-affliction, thus creating self-inspection. We need to look within. Too many times, regretfully, we look outward. Jesus said it like this in Luke 21:34, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts become overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. Take heed to yourselves. One of the greatest harms and problems that I see in the church, the body of Christ, is those who are always attacking other ministries and ministers. There is a time to address sin issues. But we have those who are constantly bashing everyone because they've made themselves the rule and the instrument of measurement, and that's totally erroneous. But if men would get back to prayer and to fasting, they would be more concerned about the telephone pole that is in their own eye versus the toothpick that's in someone else's eye. This is why fasting is so powerful, because it humbles the soul. It destroys and crucifies the flesh. Your flesh is your aberration. Your flesh is your problem. Your flesh is your enemy. And people need to realize, I've got to get myself in subjection. 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul said, if I don't keep my body in subjection, I fear after I have preached the truth to other people, I myself should become a castaway. A castaway is an apostate. And a castaway is a reprobate. It's the same word in Romans 1 and 28 and 1 Corinthians 9:27. A castaway and a reprobate is the same identical thing. Romans 1 and 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. The word castaway in 1 Corinthians 9 and 27 is the same identical word in the Greek as reprobate, castaway. They are both synonymous. Fasting will help you to not fall into that scenario, that disposition. It will keep your spirit checked that that does not happen to you. Listen, the Bible is emphatic. There's going to come a great falling away. The Greek word is adikamos. That's the word for reprobate or castaway. If you want the Greek number, it's number 96 in your strong exhaustive concordance. It means to be rejected, worthless, a castaway, a reprobate, one that is totally unapproved of God. Adokimos, A-D-O-K-E-E-M-O-S. That's the pronunciation. The word is spelled A-D-O-K-I-M-O-S, but it's pronounced Adokimos, a reprobate. People who are fasting and praying negate that spirit, the spirit of being a reprobate. It keeps that spirit at bay. It keeps that spirit abated. It keeps that spirit away. Why? Because fasting breaks the bands of wickedness. When God told us to fast, in the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus addressed 3 subjects: giving, praying, and fasting. Now, I want to ask you a question today. This is a good time for me to bring this up. Are you giving? Are you praying? Are you fasting? Are you giving? Are you praying? Are you fasting? We do not ask for money here at the Voice of Evangelism. We've said it, we'll continue to say it. If the money dries up, I'll just quit. I'll just quit. I'm not going to sit here and beg you for money. I'll just quit, go off into the sunset, and live my Christian life until Jesus Christ returns. Anybody knows it takes money to run the ministry. WWCR does not give me free airtime. Blog Talk Radio does not give me free airtime. Paper is not free. Ink is not free. The monthly newsletter is not free. My website costs money. We have power bill. We have telephone bills. We have internet bills. We have all sorts of bills. Though this is a ministry, it has to be run like a business. That's why we use our copy paper twice. If it doesn't go out to people, we flip it over on the other side and use it again. We have telephone bills. We have bills just like anyone else to run the ministry. We do need your support, but we're not going to beg for it. I don't believe I have to beg. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. If this ministry blesses you, if this ministry enlightens your spiritual understanding, if this ministry opens your understanding to the Word of God, then you should support it. You should happily sit down and write a gift every month without reservation because you're being fed. Just about every email I've gotten in the last 2 weeks on the teaching on the coming Messiah, most of these people I've never even heard from. They tell me it's good, but they don't stand with us. That doesn't pay the bills, telling me it's good teaching, it's profound teaching, it's profusely enlightening. That does not pay the bills. But there are three things Jesus addressed: giving, prayer, and fasting. And what is unique, and I will never forget where I was. In 1982, I was lying in the sanctuary of a church on my back, praying and crying out to God. I was in a little town called Princeton, North Carolina. The Princeton Church of God. I was in the sanctuary, lying on my back, crying out to God. I was there for 4 weeks in revival. And Jesus said, when thou doest thine alms, Matthew 6:2, Matthew 6:5, and when thou prayest, then Matthew 6:16, Jesus said, moreover, when ye fast. And I said, God, why is it you put more emphasis on fasting than you did praying and you did giving? And the word of the Lord is always elementary, but it's always profound. I'm a very simple man. I like to keep things simple. That acronym KISS, K-I-S-S, keep it simple, stupid. That's for me. I keep everything simple. But I remember lying on my back and I asked God, why was there more emphasis on fasting? He said, moreover, that means above and beyond. Moreover means above and beyond giving and prayer, fast. And I remember lying there on the floor and I said, God, why is there more emphasis on fasting? And the Spirit said, because if people fasted more, they would pray and give more liberally. Whoa. They would pray and give more liberally. Now, I know my pundits will say, tithing is the law. Well, that shows you how little you know about tithing. Tithing was what Abraham gave to Melchizedek, which was before the law, 400 years. These people that are always looking for a way to not give, they're not saved. When you receive the Spirit of Christ, you immediately receive a spirit of giving. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God is a giver. God is a giver. This ministry gives so much every year, it would beg description. But we don't talk about it. We don't talk about the money we give to ministries, to widows, to orphans, to institutions that we know are doing the work of God. We give so much. You will never know how far your dollar goes in this ministry. We are always giving to a mission work in Israel. People who are involved in picketing abortion clinics, people who are missionaries, we thank God that we were not called to be missionaries. Those that are called to be missionaries have one of the greatest callings ever, to leave their homeland and go and sacrifice perpetually. And these people need support. I just gave last night to another work, a missionary work. We are always giving, not only from the ministry, but we tithe as individual. My wife and I tithe. We give offerings, but we also tithe on the ministry. That's because we need God's blessing on the ministry. Moreover, when ye fast, in other words, above praying and giving, fast. Because if you fast, your giving and your prayer life will be more generous, will be more liberal. The fast that God has chosen says he would break the bands of wickedness. He would break off the heavy burdens. Now, I know there are those who say, well, we don't need to fast. Well, Jesus said, moreover, when ye fast. Fasting breaks chains, shackles, fetters. Matthew 17:21, this kind goeth not but by prayer and fasting. For the last 7 or 8 years, we have fasted at least minimum of 21 days in January, my wife and I, and sometimes we've gone even longer. Once this becomes a part of your life, it's not as arduous, it's not as difficult as you think. And those of you who may be diabetics, go and don't eat any bread or don't eat any red meat. Make a sacrifice. I don't eat anything. I just drink water or juices or something of that nature, but I don't eat any food whatsoever. But I'm tremendously healthy. And this is what the Bible says. Thine health shall spring forth speedily. Steve Quell always gives me a hard time. I've never seen nobody eat so much chocolate all my life, and yet you have this kind of health. Well, God has been good to me. And I have fasted for 40 years. God honors that. God embraces that. Listen, when you begin to fast and pray, you're telling God, God, I mean business. I'm not playing with this prayer life. I'm not kidding. I am sincere. I will not eat a bite of food until you begin to move, God. And don't you think that doesn't touch the heartstrings of God? That moves God. That moves God. When you get away from the table and you spend more time in the prayer closet or you spend more time in the scriptures, the Holy Writ, that touches the heart of God. God sees your sincerity. God sees your commitment. God sees your consecration. Psalms 35:13, I humbled my soul with fasting and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. I humbled my soul. The word humble there in the Hebrew means I afflicted my soul with fasting and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. You don't have to fast 21 days, but just fast 3 days, 5 days, 7 days. Show God. I fasted 7 days when I worked a secular job. Yes, I was young. I was 23 years old. But I wanted God's touch. I suppose that's what I've desired more than anything other than winning souls. I just want God's touch. When God touches your life, you are totally different and distinctly different from anyone or anything else. Jesus fasted. Moses fasted. David fasted. The great patriarchs fasted. They sought God. Paul fasted. Jesus taught fasting. That's how important it was. He taught it in Matthew 6. beginning at verse 16. Fasting breaks and looses the bands of wickedness. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. See, he said it will break and loose heavy burdens. He said, and to let the oppressed go free. When someone is oppressed, they are broken. That's what that means in the Hebrew. They are broken. They are oppressed. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the enemy, for God was with him. The great passage in Luke 4:18, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Then in verse 21, Jesus said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears or in your hearing. This is what fasting does. It increases the anointing. Why? Because fasting burns out all of the sin, the corruption, the residue of sin, the residue of wickedness, the residue of iniquity, iniquitous acts. Fasting burns all of that away and out of your life. And last but not least, it breaks every yoke. Isaiah 10:27 says, the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. This is why we fast. We never know what we're going to encounter spiritually. You don't know what you may encounter tomorrow. When the situation arises, you can't say, well, wait just a minute, God. Give me 7 days to fast and to pray so I can be prepared to tackle this event. Remember when the man brought his son to the disciples in Matthew 17? They could not lay their hands on him and deliver him. They could not cast out the power of darkness. They could not cast out the devil. The Bible said Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured that very same hour. The disciple said, why could not we cast him out? Jesus said, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye will have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. You've heard me say this, I'll say it again. Some things will never happen until you fast. Fasting destroys unbelief. You say, how is that possible? As you fast, as you get closer to God through fasting, your spiritual man grows and explodes exponentially. It says, wow, I just believe God. Why? You're crucifying the flesh. You're getting the natural man. You're getting the natural woman. You're getting them out of the way and letting the Spirit of God have preeminence. The Spirit of God have preeminence. When you're fasting, you just assimilate. You just bury your face in the Word of God. You hunger, you thirst for righteousness. Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. My God, if I could get 90% of you fasting and praying, we would tear down the strongholds of hell. We would march through hell and plunder it and win souls to the kingdom of God. Hell is an entity. Death is an entity. If you don't believe it, read Revelation 6. Read Revelation 20. Death and hell must give up the dead that are in them in Revelation 20. They are real entities. They exist. And then in Revelation 20 and 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. These are entities. These are just not verbs or adjectives describing something. Death and hell are real, my friend. But through prayer, through fasting, you and I can have power over death and of hell. Amen. Revelation chapter 6, verse 8. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the field. When you fast and pray, God gives you power over death and hell. Hebrews 2:14, that through death he destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Jesus has paid the price. We now just pick up the mantle and we go with it. We don't back down. We're not cowardice in heart and in spirit. We stand and we wave the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. Fasting lifts you up. Fasting empowers you. Fasting emboldens you. Fasting clears your mind. I look at the mind sometimes as it's a tremendous organ, needless to say, but I look at it like wood that's been varnished or had lacquer, and now it's old and it's changing colors. Fasting burns off that old varnish. It burns off that old lacquer and gets your mind pristine and clean again. Fasting is good for the soul. It's good for the spirit. It's good for the body. Verse 7, Isaiah 58 and 7. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Feed the hungry. We do that both spiritually and physically at this ministry. Jesus told Peter, feed my sheep. I don't have any doubt. I don't have any reservation personally. When I come to this microphone, am I feeding you? I know I'm feeding you because I'm giving you the word of the living God. To deal bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house. When's the last time you helped somebody poor? If I were to sit here and tell you what we do, you would say, well, you're just bragging. So I'm not going to tell you what we do. I never want anyone to think we're bragging. What we give, how we give to the poor, how we give to other ministries, how we give to missionaries, how we give to those who are helping to feed the poor. Listen to this verse, these two verses in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17, 18. We'll go ahead and share 19. Deuteronomy 10:17, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. He doth execute judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger, in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. God told Israel, you love the stranger. You bless the stranger. You give them food. You give them clothing. Why? He said, because ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. That was not your home. Your home was Canaan land, the promised land. We're strangers. You and I as Christians are strangers in this world. This world is not our home. That's why we're to love the stranger. Hebrews 11 verse 13. Listen to what the man of God says in Hebrews 11, 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We need to confess we're just strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We're just passing through. That's all we're doing. Hebrews 13, verses 2 and 3. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. I have prayed through the years for the people that are in prison camps in China, in North Korea, in Russia. Why? Because that's what the Bible tells me. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. How many Christians would even know that verse or preach that verse and tell you to be mindful? Oh, no, God wants you to be rich. God wants you to have a new Mercedes-Benz. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with being rich. There's nothing wrong with having a Mercedes-Benz. There's nothing wrong with living in an ostentatious, opulent house. But the question is, are you tithing and giving? You see, God blesses us to be a blessing. God blesses us to be a blessing, not to hoard it up. Why do you think Jesus said, having food and raiment? He said, be content. Don't worry about tomorrow. Paul, 1 Timothy 6. He said, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. That's 1 Timothy 6, 7, and 8. When you have enough, you are responsible to give. He said, here in Isaiah 58, 7, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him. Cover the naked. And don't feign self-righteousness to cover your own faults. Every man has faults. We strive for perfection, though we will never obtain perfection. Now, I know what the Bible said in Matthew 5 and 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which in heaven is perfect. You cannot obtain perfection. What Jesus is talking about there is spiritual maturity. The word perfect there in the Greek means maturity, not perfection, as you and I think about perfection, and that I'm perfect. You're perfect. No, that's not going to happen. Jesus said in Matthew 25 and 42, for I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Remember I said earlier in the program, ministry was about giving, not always attacking other ministries. I've never seen such an attack. That tells you these people are of the devil. Yeah, I make my little trite remarks about Joy Osteen. But I'm talking about attacking people who God is using, who's given prophetic messages and utterances, and just eviscerating these people. Eviscerating every ministry. These people are self-righteous, and they feign self-righteousness to cover their own faults. Ministry, hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, sick, and in prison, and do not minister unto them. Again, ministry is about giving. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to what? To minister. Read it. Mark 10, verse 45. That's what needs to be taking place. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Many. Then we go to 1 John 3. 1 John 3, verses 17 through 20. Now listen to this. But whosoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. I had a lady a few weeks ago wrote me a letter. She sent me $5. In her letter, she said, I heard you say in your radio program you had 4, 5, or 6 strong exhaustive concordances. Could I have one? Now, remember, she only sent me $5, but I sent her a strong exhaustive concordance. She's a stranger. I don't know her. $5 didn't even cover the shipping. But I didn't shut up my bowels of compassion. I gave because she asked. That's why we ask you to support the ministry. We're not going to beg. But we are always constantly, constantly giving. We know that's the spirit of Christ. I mean, only God knows the widows, the very less fortunate. You know, of course, people castigate us no matter which way we turn or whatever we do. We get untold criticism. You know, I looked in the checkbook last week. My wife spent that week alone $248 just in postage. Postage is not cheap when you're sending out packages and sending out a monthly newsletter. But we do it because we love God. Everyone that sends a gift to this ministry, you know I'm telling the truth, you get a thank you letter and a little note, handwritten note from me personally, thanking you because I appreciate, I know where the blessing of God comes from. And that's why we do that. We don't have to do that. I only know of one other man personally, and that's Marvin Rosenthal, and we support them. But if you send Marvin Rosenthal a gift, now we send real gifts, and that's all I'll say. We don't send chicken feed. We send real gifts. But we always get a handwritten note back from Marvin thanking us. It's a letter, form letter, just like we do, but at the bottom he takes the time to write a special note of thanks. I need to finish up. Verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. The light of Christ will break forth like the sun in its noonday strength in your life. Psalms 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. His light is a sign of answered prayers. Your health shall return unto you. We all need good health. Everyone listening to me today needs good health. How do I get good health? You fast. Thine health shall spring forth speedily. Speedily. Every one of you listening desires and wants health. You've heard the old cliche, you can have all the money in the world, but if you don't have your health, what good is all of that money? It's worthless. I thank God for my health. Now, I cannot earn, I cannot merit divine health, but I can fast and pray, and God says, thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. Now, what does that mean? Thy righteousness shall go before thee. In other words, your good works. And I works have nothing to do with saving you. Works are a demonstration that you are saved. Works are a demonstration that you are saved. You show your faith by your works. Works without faith, James said, is absolutely dead. I hear so many people, I'm going to upset a few people here, but that's kind of what we do around here many times. I'm on a fixed income. I can't give. Sure, you can give. Remember the woman that gave two mites? Jesus said, she gave more than them all. The Greek says, everything they gave collectively was not as much as she gave. She only gave two little copper coins. James 2 and 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. I will show thee my faith by my works. Faith without works, James said, is dead also. When I first started giving, I did the fundamentals. I tithe and I gave offerings. But now listen to me. In February of 1986, God said, I want you to double your tithes, David. And I said, what? What? And the next thing I heard in my spirit was, prove me. Over 30 years now, we've done more than doubled our tithes. We give more than 20%. You say, you don't have to do that. I know I don't have to do that. But to obey is better than sacrifice. And because of our obedience, through prayer, giving, and fasting, God has placed his hand upon our lives and the ministry here. No, we're not some large behemoth, mammoth ministry. But what little bit of ministry we're able to accomplish, we get continued results, continual results. We get results every month. Every month we get results. Why? We follow Matthew 6. We pray, we more than tithe, and we fast. And when you go back and you read Matthew 6, you do all of this stuff secretly. And what does God say he will do? He will reward you openly. A child of God does not have to walk around with their head down because they've been blessed by God. I'm going through the Bible again. And I was just reading in Genesis last night. Abraham was wealthy. I mean, just unbelievably, silver and gold and all the things of this temporal life. But in Matthew 6 and 4, Jesus said, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Shall reward thee openly. See? Then when you pray, Matthew 6 and 6, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Fasting, Matthew 6, 18. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. That just tears some people up. But God says, when you do all of this secretly, I'll bless you openly. Now, we pray, we give, we fast. You can give in secret, you can pray in secret, but when you go on an extended fast, it's kind of hard to keep that a secret with people around you, but you do your best. But the point is, you can't keep it just isolated in secret and nobody can know. But the point is the attitude behind it. Are you fasting? Are you giving? Are you praying to be seen of men? Or are you doing it because you love the Lord? That's the difference. God sees the heart. You may judge, you may condemn, you may belittle. I've been castigated so many times because I've shared my testimony about a 40-day fast. I mean, I've been lambasted. I don't let that bother me. The Bible tells me Jesus fasted 40 days. He wants us to know. He was an example. God bless you. Have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. Redemption, draw it now.